7 out of 10 proctologists recommend listening to The Drew Marshall Show. I don't know what it is that makes me love you so. I only know I never want to let you go. Cause you started something, can't you see? That ever since we met you had a hold on me. It happens to be true. I only want to be with Drew.
Yeah, baby.
Nope, that's
you're listening
not what
to
it
the
says.
Drew Marshall Show. We're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca. We're live right here in Southern Ontario on Joy 1250. Thanks for tuning in. I know we have listeners from all around the world tuning in right now via live streaming. Hit us up on Facebook. Send a little note. Meg's the intern will keep track of your tweets and your Facebook posts. And if you say something real mushy to Alan, we may even repeat it to him. Although he's just got to be tired of that, eh? I'm telling you. Well, when the Bay City Rollers were big, they were the biggest. For 2 years, everything they touched turned to gold, then platinum, then double platinum. The band sold 120 million records, generating income worth $8 billion in today's money and conquering the UK, US, Canada, Australia, Japan, everywhere. They were the world's biggest band since the Beatles, no doubt. They were and still are, in so many hearts, the ultimate boy band. They were the one direction of their age, the Rollers, and their tartan uniform worn by everyone and their sister. Excuse me, I had tartan too, okay? So that's very unfair. Defined the era. For a shining period nicknamed Roller Mania, they were worldwide teen idols. The group's lineup featured numerous changes over the years, but the classic lineup during its heyday included guitarist Eric Faulkner, Stuart John Wood, otherwise known as Woody, singer Les McKeown, bassist Alan Longmore, and drummer Derek. That's brother of Alan, Derek Longmore. Move Back, a 40th anniversary celebration for fans of the Bay City Rollers, is happening this summer at Nathan Phillips Square, Toronto. This fan-driven event takes place on June 26th, and the event commemorates the 40th anniversary of the Bay City Rollers Day, which happened on June 27th, 1976. Mary, were you even born then?
Barely.
Okay.
Barely.
Right. Just checking. The event was meant to celebrate two of the Bay City Rollers albums going platinum. This celebration will begin with a fan meetup at Nathan Phillips Square in the afternoon, followed by an after party at the hotel. Whoa, easy boys. With an
Simmer.
Acoustic performance by Bay City Rollers founding member Alan Longmore, who will also be bringing, now check this out, his Edinburgh Fringe Festival play, And I Run With The Gang. Oh, my Scottish thing is horrible. I shouldn't even try.
No, stop.
And I Ran With The Gang as part of his 40th anniversary celebration. So much going on, but we should probably just get the big gun on the phone. Ladies and gentlemen.
So.
A personal thrill for this little lad. I've interviewed James Brown, Alice Cooper, B.B. King, and now a Bay City Roller. My life is complete. I can die and go to heaven. Alan Longmore, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you very much.
Was that not the longest introduction you've ever had in your life?
Yeah, I think so.
Jeez. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Right. Yeah. I have a love affair with Scotland. I'm over there once every few years.
Yeah.
And I'm horrible with the brogue. I mean, I'm just absolutely useless trying to imitate you guys. But I got to say, when I watched a Celtic match, I soon learned about the Glasgow Kiss.
Oh, yeah.
Which is?
What? Can you explain?
Enlighten me.
Alan, can you explain the Glasgow Kiss, please?
A Glasgow Kiss, right in the head.
Yeah, you basically, yeah, it's one of those, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. I soon found out about those. Because for some reason, Alan, I'm 6'4", 240, and I was walking to a bar in Dundee, and I was walking down the road, and all of a sudden my spidey senses went off, and I turned to my right, and one guy was coming down from the air, coming, like, to pound me in the head. And there's something about the big guy they always want to take down. What is it with you Scottish guys?
I don't know. It's called the small man syndrome.
Well, Alan, I want to introduce you to my co-host today, Mare. That stands for Meredith, a good Scottish name. Mare, this is Alan.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Hi. How are you doing?
Good.
Alan, when was the last time you rode a horse?
Oh, God. Funny enough, about a year ago in Belfast. My wife's cousin, he's a show jumper, and he had her horses at the stable, and I had a shot with him. That was the last time. it's hard enough to get on the horse.
Yeah, I've reached that age as well. You know, can you remember the names of the collies you used to have on the farm back in the day?
Oh, yeah. It was Winky was one. There was Ben, another one. And there was Flossie, was another one. There's different ones, you know. I used them for the sheep at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, they're not lying. The sheep over there are just... There's more sheep than humans, isn't there?
Sometimes, yeah.
Need some collies to keep them in
check. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Alan, I this is really hard for me to admit this, but you were the first band I ever liked, right? And the Tiger Beat magazine and the whole thing. Is it weird that guys like you as well? Was that ever weird for you? Because when you look at the footage of the crazy screaming girls... It was the crazy screaming girls. I never saw a crazy screaming guy.
No, you were in the
background.
You were just hiding.
But
it was quite comical in a way because it was all girls at the very, very start. And since we've been back on the road again, all these guys are coming out of the closet. You know, it's brilliant.
These big 6'4", 240 guys coming out.
That's funny stuff, man. I just got a message from some girls here I want to play to you. I don't know if you can hear it because I can't figure it out on the computer, so I'm going to use my phone. All right, have a listen. We'll see if this works or not.
Hi, Drew and Alan. This is Kathy from New York, Helene from the Netherlands, Deb from Cirencester, and Margaret from Belfast. Just wanted to say hi and send love and let you know that we're listening in. Hi, Alan.
Hello, how are you?
Now, Alan, come on. How many times a day do you get these messages? And how is your darling wife? How did that wife of yours end up marrying? Where did you go? St. Lucia? That's why you got married. I mean, yeah.
That's right, yeah. No, she can take it, no problem. She's very good that way, you know.
Oh. Now, do you know those ladies? I mean, personally?
Yeah, I think I met them. I mean, I met them in the last time we were in Savannah and places like that. They've got the real, real diehard fans, you know, and I mean... Especially when I do my play in Edinburgh, you know, it's unbelievable. They come from Australia, Canada, even Iceland and places like that, you know.
Unbelievable.
I try to speak to everyone, you know, if I can.
Yeah. Who has the most amount of marbles in their mouth? The folks from Aberdeen or the folks from Glasgow?
I think north of Aberdeen.
Yeah, even north, right? They're hard to understand up there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could say a couple of things. I can understand them, but... I mean, I'll tell you a thing. One time, years and years ago, we were in the studio, and Eric and Woody were having an argument in the actual in the studio. And I was standing in the control room with the engineer, and they were arguing about music, about something. And the guy says, "Can you understand what they're saying?" I says, "I can understand them, but you can't."
Well, listen, he's not wrong. Let's go back to the Marty in Dundee. I went into the men's room, you know, after a few pints, and the two guys who were going to pound me outside. Started talking to me while I'm at the urinal. And that's an awkward moment, just to begin
with,
right?
Where do you look?
No, yeah, I don't want to talk.
Eye contact, wall.
But then, so I'm already kind of worried these guys want to pound me. But then they start, and he goes like this, "Ray, can you tell me what that is?" I have no clue what they're saying, so I've got to say, "I'm sorry, what?" "Can you tell me what that is?" I'm sorry, what? Now I know he's going to pound me, because I'm going to, you know.
Turn
anyway,
off, turn
they were
off.
Just asking me what time it was, and it was just an awkward moment.
Yeah.
What is your best memory ever being with the Saxons? On stage?
I mean, the Saxons was the first band, really. I mean, there was a guy like myself, my cousin, a guy called Dave Pettigrew, my brother. It was very, very nerve-wracking, believe it or not, because it was a youth club we played, I think. We couldn't get a band that night, and they asked if we could do it. And of course, we said, yeah, you know. So Nobby Clark, he was a singer at the time, and... Of course, everybody was really, really worried about it. It actually ended quite well.
Yeah. Well, okay, so you were almost called the Arkansas Rollers. Did you actually throw a dart at a map of the states and it landed on Bay City, Michigan, or did you just stick a pin in and kind of find it?
No, it was an actual, what happened was we're in the front room in an apartment in Edinburgh, and what it was an actual map, and we all sat around, and I had the idea of something like so. Wheels, and I always remember a band called Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels, and I thought we need something moving because we were doing all the Tamla Motown stuff at the time and things, and I need something really good. So we came up with Rollers. I don't know who came up with the girl, but we said, "Okay, Rollers, I want to keep Rollers." So we started pinning the map, and then what happened? It turned up in Arkansas, and I said, "That doesn't sound very, very good, you know."
No,
bad
name.
in the Bay City, and that was it. No, that's how it went. A lot of people actually, when they played round about Scotland, and a lot of people thought they were an American band.
Well, apparently the Bay City Rollers were one single away from losing their recording contract, and then Eric and Woody joined, and Remember was released, and then boom. Is that about right?
That's right, the first hit record we ever had was a song called Keep On Dancing. It was in 1971. Different guys in the band at that time, and of course it died to death for a couple of years. And then we done a song called Mañana, which was a big, we won a competition in a radio club. Radio Luxembourg was very, very big in the UK at the time because it was a kind of pirate radio. And then we come to number one in Israel, believe it or not. And then after that, it died at death after that, you know. And we were worried what we were going to do. Then Eric and Rudy came along and we started rehearsing, and then the next day these guys come and saw us. And,
yeah.
I've got a song here if you want to listen to it. So that was the start again.
Yeah. Well, Alan, when was the last time you were forced to watch a clip of the Bay City Rollers TV show Shang-a-Lang?
Maybe this morning. My wife's going on all the time, doesn't want nothing. I mean, like Facebook and things, you know. And it's she rubs into me all the time, you know.
Oh, that's funny.
Don't forget where you come from, okay?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then I've got quite a bit of grass to cut, and I hate cutting grass. I like a nice garden, but I mean, I got a T-shirt made up. Pop stars don't cut grass.
Pop stars don't cut grass. Dude, I want that shirt. I want that shirt. That's fantastic. Okay, what was the most dangerous thing you remember seeing one of your crazy fans do?
Oh, God, there's so many. I mean, there was a place we played, and it was just taking off at the time. It's actually in Scotland. There was a place called East Kilbride, Olympia Ballroom, it was called.
Yeah.
And we told the guys, you have to get some bouncers at the front of the stage because these kids are going to go mental, you know. He said, no, we've had this guy here, we've had different bands here. Of course, we're on stage 15 minutes and just attacked the stage. I finished off with, lost my shoes, I had a sweater, a jersey got ripped off my back, and wow. Cut my feet trying to get into the car park and get in the car. Oh, it was actually mental, you know.
Wow.
And other things is when the Apollo in Glasgow, which is a big, big venue, and the policeman got it wrong for with a decoy as well, and then actually we got chased down the road, and I just turned around, and that was the last guy running down the road, and I turned around and I saw it was a sea of tartan chasing me.
That's terrifying.
The big plate glass window broke right through. It cost us about $8,000 or something to get it fixed or something.
Good wow. Night. Man. Yeah. Well, was it not true that you used to have to go up on the roof of your place to see if the crowd was clear, if the coast was clear?
That was true, yeah, because it's like what they call four up, well, eight apartments in one block.
The tenement.
And I used to climb up and then look over the roof and see who was out there. Maybe about 100 girls still hanging about. And there was a true story which I'd done was a guy down the stair had a bike, and I was just wanting to go for a pint of beer, you know, just for something to do. And I says to him, "There's a," give him a fiver, I says, "give him a shot of your bike." So he opened that door, she opened the door, and I scurried out, you know, and of course all these girls were chasing me down the street. Normal people going shopping and thinking, what's happening here, you know?
Yeah, that's
it was a bank robber or something.
That's insane. Oh, listen, I can relate, though, Alan. I mean, that happens to me every single day.
It's hard to be fabulous.
It's really just hard to be this fabulous. Yeah. Well, listen, there's some downside to your stories as well, and I didn't know much about this until I started doing some research, and buddy, you guys, just tough stuff. So I think the whole thing kind of started, the down stuff, when that police officer at one of your concerts had a heart attack while dealing with the crush of the crowd. Is that right?
That's true, yeah. What happened was, there was a company called a TV company called Granada, and what happened was they tried to get us out, and we had decoys in different places, and the guy, the policeman's wife, says, don't go there, it's quite busy. She says, oh, so okay, we're only doing, we're just looking after the band and things like that. And of course, then you go knock down in the rush, and that was it.
Yeah, boy. And then, of course, Les accidentally hit this elderly lady who walked out in front of his car and later died of her injuries.
We're all going to get awards from the Queen, and That didn't happen after that.
No, jeez.
But similarly, and I'm not just saying this, but that same old lady got knocked three times down before, you know, so it wasn't the first. You know.
She got knocked three times before by cars?
Yeah, before Les, but of course Les knocked and he tried to swerve and he went through a wall and the actual back end of the car hit the old lady. You know.
Oh, gee whiz. Well, okay, so then we come along to Clive Davis time period with Arista Records, and they sort of kept you trapped in the tartan boy band image, right, at a time when you guys were sort of tired of it, you know, that they'd move you over to the States, all of a sudden it's like you're being born again, and they want you to stay the way you were.
That's right, and what happened was with Clive was, I mean, Clive was wanting to keep the band as it was, and we had no, what they call, artistic control, and we wanted their own artistic control, but just to say what songs they were doing, and they were just pushing songs in their face, and say, no, we don't like that song. A couple of good songs, right enough, but we wanted to do some of our own stuff, you know, and it wouldn't last, and they'd try to keep us here all the time, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me just, I want to kind of glaze over this because it really isn't the focus of this conversation, but, you know, it is sort of all of your story and your lives together. Eric got hooked on speed. One morning he couldn't be revived. Your manager called the tabloids. I can't believe he did that.
Yeah. That's the first thing he would do.
Yeah, like, you know, he might have even called the tabloids before he called for help. So just... Unbelievable. And I wonder if you ever came to a point where you wish you'd never met the potato farmer.
Oh, yeah, two or three times, yeah.
Yeah.
He was actually, Tom's a good guy, bad guy. What happened was he was a control freak, you know, he tried to keep us in. I actually used to make sure you were at home. He wouldn't come out at night. As soon as I was away, I was wherever I was going. Things like that, you know, and I used to hide behind doors and things like that.
Yeah.
Have you seen Alan tonight? No, I've never seen him all day, you know. I can't bang the door, you know.
You know, I saw an interview where he called you guys a tin of Heinz beans. I thought that was nice.
Yeah, that was really nice, yeah.
Yeah, you know, something to market. Of course, Leslie had a tough time with the drink. Derek, your brother had a bit of an issue with the law, which I think may have been, you know, sorted out. Now, here's the thing that weirds me out. At one point... Is this true? Les ended up bugging the rooms in Japan to listen in on what you guys were saying about him.
So they tell me. I don't know. I mean, probably did, you know. No,
Wow.
We're looking on great just now. It's actually brilliant.
Yeah, I've heard. I mean, it's a lot different than that fight on stage in Japan.
Oh, yeah. That was quite funny. Well, it wasn't funny at the time, but it was funny.
Yeah.
Went back in it, you know.
Yeah. On a scale of 1 to 10, Alan, how badly do you think you were screwed by the labels?
I'd say 9.
Yeah. So which caused the most grief for you? Would it be the issues with management and labels and that sort of thing, the industry, or the issues with the guys?
Again, no, the guys is no problem. Everybody had the same issue. I mean, it was against the record company plus against management, and all those guys came come along, and we found it. So this other guy was screwing us, taking percentage off this, and we got rid of him, and somebody else came along, and it was terrible.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Because we were just laymen. We were actually just musicians or tried to be good musicians, and we were just getting along with things and going to the studios and things. Hmm. And then what happened was you get guys like that, and I call them the parasites of the business because they can't play on music and they just steal your money and that's it.
Well, I'm trying to think of the life that you've had and how much you've really had to process. You know, they talk about water under the bridge, but you had the highs of highs, the lows of lows, the success, the failures, forgiveness. I mean, that's another thing you've really had to process, I think. Forgiveness. True?
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Yeah, at least we've all come out at the end of it, and it's been quite good. Nobody's been harmed with it. Just that sometimes it was mind-blowing, some of the things, you know, but
yeah.
I mean, nowadays, I'm getting on there, man. I just go, well, that's what happened, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing you can do about it.
You know, a couple times that I've been over in your land, by the way, my favorite area is between Stirling and Perth. That neck of the woods is just beautiful.
Well, I stay in just outside Stirling, a place called Bannockburn.
Oh, I know exactly where that is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I'll be over next week for a cup of tea, okay?
No problem, yeah, anytime you want.
But here's the thing. I've done a couple of weddings over there, and after the wedding, of course, there's the Kaylee, and being the awkward, tall, white man that I am, I often sit down at a table and just, you know, drink. But inevitably, Alan, every time I sit down there, they find out I'm the God guy that did the wedding. And so there's a line. I mean, there are three or four or five people waiting to talk to me about God stuff. And I've often thought, it's been so curious to me, Alan, here you have this country that the foundation, the building blocks of this country was based on the church and the Church of Scotland. And and religion was a big thing over there. Was it a big thing for you growing up?
Oh, yeah, in the early days, you had to go to church every Sunday. And after that was what they call Bible class. I was like, just all the young guys, talking to the minister or whatever, it was all the priest or whatever. I believe in the man upstairs, but I've not got any really, really religious situations,
Yeah, well, I find myself, even having been a pastor, I find myself almost more align with your thinking these days. I'm not even sure what I believe anymore, and it's.
I mean, I've always had my wee silent prayer and that,
Sure.
Things like that. Yeah, so happy,
Did your mom and dad? They were the ones that took you to church and sort of brought religion into your life.
Well, my granny, yeah, but as I say, my granny on a Sunday, you couldn't read the newspapers or anything like that, and you had to wear your suit and what. Derek and I would probably walk around the museum for the 50th time or something.
Yeah, that's right.
If you weren't allowed to play football or anything like that on a Sunday, that was you.
No, it was just dead strict, really. That's, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah. Especially Scotland. Especially in the north of Scotland now, it's still, places like that are still the same.
Really?
Yeah. Places like Malaig and the Outer Hebrides and the islands of Scotland.
Oh, listen, last time I was there, I flew into Glasgow, met a friend, and drove out to the Hebrides and went to Iona. Have you ever been out there?
I've never been in Iona. I've been in different other places there, but the town is nice.
Oh, it's brilliant. So went right out to Iona, which is a monastery sort of thing out in the. It's on an island, off an island, off an island, right?
That's right, yeah.
And then I drove right across the length of Scotland to the other side and went down to Berwick-upon-Tweed and went over to Holy Island.
All right, yeah.
First of all, they make great mead there. Second of all, there's three pubs on this little island. There's like 73 people and three pubs. And a beautiful castle on the end. There's castles everywhere there. But the point is, this place, you can't get to it until the tide goes out. And then a road appears, and you drive across it.
No.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. There's actually a place in Edinburgh like that as well, a place called Cramond Island. And if you don't get back before the tide comes in, that's you stuck over all night.
Man. Okay, listen, tell us about what's happening here in Toronto. You're going to be here pretty soon, and we want people to get out and say hello and party along with you. What's happening?
Well, it's just the one big party. We're going to do the and around with the gang. What's happened is a guy called Liam Rudden who produced it, plus wrote the show. And we've done it in Edinburgh, and I never thought it was going to take off, and it sold out, and it sold out next again year. And it's actually looks like it's selling again this year in August, so it's been... It's a nostalgic, fun thing, and it's a bit comedy and a bit singing and a bit... fun in it as well,
Yeah.
The guys are good, the actors are good as well.
Yeah. Well, if you go to BCR, which of course stands for Bay City Rollers, BCR 40th USA Anniversary Fan Fest. That'll find it right there. Or you just go to our site at drewmarshall.ca and click on today's show. You'll see a picture of Alan and the boys and some links to click on. That'll tell you all about it. Of course, you want to go and see I Ran With the Gang. It's part of this 40th anniversary celebration. And have you always been the bass player?
Yeah, no, what's happened was, I was a bass player from the very beginning. And then try to do when we go out on stage is try and swap over different things just to make it a bit better. And I'd go on keyboards or play accordion and Rudy would play bass and then I'd go on acoustic or something to make it different,
Yeah.
And the finished up this time we've got guys backing us and we've got, as I say, three of us are up the front. I'm playing guitar, which is brilliant for me because it's a lot easier. Rudy's he's on guitar, and the guys, as I say, we've got bass player, drummer. Great guys, lovely guys to go on with,
That's brilliant, brilliant. Listen, I want to ask you a personal favor. Can I ask you a favor?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that doesn't mean you're going to do it, but let me just ask you. So I have a cousin, and her name is Wendy. And Wendy collapsed at the gym last year. They took her to the hospital. She had an aneurysm. And it was really touch and go. She barely made it. She's still alive. She was the one that introduced me to the Bay City Rollers. I still remember her bedroom. She had the posters all up and the whole thing. She was just a huge fan. Do you mind if we give her a surprise phone call?
No problem.
Would that be all right? Okay, I'm going to get Meg's our intern, to dial the number. And she'll let me know when it's, well, she'll just put it in. As soon as it starts raining, the lines are hot. Folks, you're listening to the Drew Marshall Show. Treat for me to have Alan Longmire on the show. He, of course, is a founding member of the Bay City Rollers. And better than that, he's a true Scotsman. I mean, really, he is. Okay. All right. Oh, yeah, there we go. Okay, let's see if she picks up. I hope she does. Otherwise, it's going to be a voice. Hi, Wendy.
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well.
Good.
Hey, listen, I don't know if you realize this, but I do a radio show, right?
I do, yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you know that I do it Saturdays 1 to 5?
No, I knew it was on Saturdays. I thought it was in the morning.
No, it's right now. You're actually on the air with me. Isn't that silly?
That's spectacular.
But I've got a little treat for you. Do you remember some of the posters you had up in your bedroom of a band that were from another country?
Oh, Bay City Rollers?
Yeah. Yeah, well, okay. You were the one that got me into the Bay City Rollers.
You're kidding.
And I've got the bass player from the Bay City Rollers on the phone with us. I'm interviewing him right now, Alan Longmire. Do you remember Eric, Derek, Woody, Alan, and Leslie? See, I know all their names.
No way.
Alan, I'd like you to meet my cousin, Wendy.
Hello, Wendy. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I hope you're a little better now.
I know, Wendy, you'll hate me for this, but I just shared a little bit of your story of this aneurysm thing that just kind of, you know, took you down for the count. But you're back, and you're fighting hard, and you're a survivor, and you're doing... How are you? Let's just ask you that. How are you?
I'm doing great. I am... It's been just over a year now.
Uh-huh.
And I am almost 100% and starting to talk about and work with rehab about going back to work.
Wow. Good for you. Good for you. Now, yeah. Wendy, did you ever actually get out to a Bay City Rollers concert? Because I know you lived out in the country and you had strict parents and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
I did not.
No. I didn't either. We both missed it, Alan. How do you feel about us two of your biggest Canadian fans? We didn't even go to one of your gigs.
I had the attire and the hair and everything.
She did.
Oh, man,
she did. You had to hold on. Now, what were these socks called that had individual toe pockets?
Oh, I don't know what they were called. Toe socks, I guess.
I guess so, or kinky toe socks, or something. I don't know, some weird thing. Yeah, it was like kinky toes.
And they had
or something.
The stripes on them.
Had the stripes, and yeah, the whole thing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I know Alan's on the phone, but I want you to speak truthfully, Wendy. Which one of the Bay City Rollers did you like the most?
I think at the time it was Woody.
Yes. he was the youngest, wasn't he, Alan?
Yeah, Woody was the youngest, yeah.
How old would he have been at the time of the heyday?
Oh, God, he was only just over 16, I think, 16, 17.
Isn't that
okay.
Crazy?
He never knew what was happening, you know. I always remember going through New York and had an 8mm camera out the top of the limo. Of course, we went right through Harlem and throwing stones and everything.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I know this may be a little creepy for me to say this, for me to admit this, but... My favorite one was Eric, because...
Eric, yeah. Well, I did kind of like Eric.
Because Eric had that hair, man, and his hair was unbelievable. And I tried to grow my hair like Eric's, but my hair was curly, and it just looked like an afro. It didn't look cool.
Eric's hair turned gray now, so I mean...
It is. Actually, Alan, I saw a clip of him playing the other day, and actually, he's quite a good player. He's quite a good singer-songwriter.
Yeah, he's been great, you know, it's always...
Is he still performing?
I think he was more frustrated than the rest of us because of the fighting against the record company. I think that was
sure.
He's probably more frustrated because
sure.
Especially wearing some of the songs he's done. You know?
Wendy, do you want to ask the question again to Alan?
Is Eric still performing?
Yeah, Eric is. But what about all the guys?
Well, Derek, he just wants to come out the whole thing altogether. In fact, he's like a spokesman for us. And he just let instead of five guys go on to a guy in the record company, we would just let Derek deal with it and plus a lawyer maybe. And then Myself, Woody, and Les, we're up there, they're doing a big thing, a big comeback thing. We didn't realise they played a place called the Barrowlands in Glasgow. And my wife said to me, the gayest you got about 800. It was 4 nights in a row, it was sold out in 3 minutes.
Wow. Wow, good for you.
It was great. What a night, man, you know, brilliant.
Yeah, good for you. Well, Wendy, do you hate me, or am I now in your good books?
Oh, no, I could never hate you, Drew, you know that.
Yes, fooled another one. Well, I thought it'd be fun just to have you say a quick hello to Alan before we say goodbye to him. So, Wendy, thank you for being such a good sport. I appreciate it.
No problem at all. Anytime. And well, okay, let me take
yeah,
that.
Don't say anytime. Yeah, don't be saying that. No. Alan, a farewell to Wendy.
Good luck, Wendy. Wish you all the very, very best. Hope to see you if I ever get a chance in Canada, wherever.
That would be great.
Okay, Wendy. Thank you.
Bye, Wendy.
With me, Alan. You take care.
Bye, Wendy.
Bye, Drew.
That was fun. Good job, Alan. I appreciate that very, very much. All right. Well, listen, I ran with the gang. Actually, if you throw that into Facebook, you'll find out about it as well. And I ran with the gang. That's Alan Longmuir's Edinburgh Fringe Festival play, basically. And he's bringing it over here to Toronto. And there's the Nathan Phillips Square thing and meet him at the hotel. There's a lot of stuff online. You got to check it out. Alan, you've been a good sport. You've given us a lot of time. And again, I hate to sound like the awkward, cheesy radio guy, but dude, it was so great. It was so great. Thank you. Enjoy your day, sir. Enjoy your weekend.
Same to you.
Thank you, Alan. Bye-bye. There we go. Okay, now I can breathe.
You're a happy guy.
How awkward is that?
You're a little red.
No.
Yeah, you are. You're blushing.
I'm not red. Mm-hmm. I'm not blushing. Mm-hmm. Oh, there it is. Now I got it.
And dancing.
Yeah, baby.
And dancing.
Okay, girls. I know you're listening from all over the world. Sing it out loud.
Good old rock and roll. Oh, show up. Saturday night, gonna rock and roll, roll it up, do it all, have a ball Saturday night.
Come on, everybody, I know you can sing louder than that. Get the harmonies going. Hit that high note. Oh, man. I don't know if our next guest is even going to join us after that. Jason McCoy coming up, frontman for the Roadhammers. Oh, I can't interrupt this. I wonder if he can sing this song. Let's get Jason McCoy to sing this song next. Stay with us. Lots more on The Drew Marshall Show.